and the daily BFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily radio program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is, of course, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello. And John Ramos.
Hello.
What's going on,
hey,
man? Sweater man.
Hey, staying warm.
Staying warm.
I see that.
Yeah, man, if we just want to welcome you, first of all, wish you a very Merry Christmas and encourage you just to pause and just to remember, you know, what, and do whatever you got to do, you know, get the fragrances going for Christmas, you know, the fragrance of wrapping paper, no, but the fragrance of cinnamon.
I guess cinnamon and peppermint.
Turkey.
And turkey.
banana pudding. No,
oh,
I don't
really
know. I have no idea. I'm really just in case. I don't want any more banana pudding.
Yeah, you're finished.
Or chicken, or finished. Chicken dumplings.
I am finished. Or chicken and dumplings, other than my mother's. My mother, man, it's intense. Hey, Mom, I just want to give a big shout out to my mother, Marilyn N. Zerl Lancaster, mother and father.
Yes.
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas, and I love you, and I thank God for you, and we got a surprise for you. We're putting together right there. And to all the mothers and fathers out there that you can't be with your children for maybe they've passed or maybe they've moved, and sometimes that's almost like, as one particular parent says, my children are evil.
Oh.
And I'm like, what happened?
It's wow.
Like, they moved across the country with my grandchildren, right?
Yeah.
And I was just joking. But the fact is
well, they
that
feel that when they
you feel that. I mean, it's so easy to travel around now, and families are all over the place. Mm-hmm. But remember, you know, we're with each other in our hearts. And be encouraged. Don't let the enemy discourage you during this time, Christmas season. This is a time to celebrate and take every opportunity to lead your family to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, because then we will be with each other forever and eternity, and we'll have plenty of time. You know, this conversation that we've been having, if you've been watching our programs and listening to them, that have, you know, God just is just gracious, and he is beginning to just stir the hearts of the church to begin to have a conversation. He actually shook the nation. We're noticing that. You know, you've seen things happen. You think, well, that was crazy. And then it happens again. You go, that was crazy. And then it's like, oh, my God, that's unjust. And then it's like, what's going on? And so often we just credit so many things to just men and their schemes versus like, no, God is picking at a wound that we refuse to carry to him to be healed. He is surfacing things that he wants us to deal with. He wants us. He says, listen, when I was sick, think about it. When I was sick and in bed, you responded to my wound. When I was wounded, you responded to me. That's what he's saying. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was in jail, you visited me. And how often, you know, we have a wrong response to woundings where, you know, it's like, come on, all right already. It's like, no, I'm wounded. I'm in bed. Come and visit me. And this is what some people will say, Jesus said. He said, some people will come to him and say, when did we see you wounded? When did we see you sick in bed? When did we see you thirsty? When did we see you in prison? When did we see you naked and needing clothes? And he says, you know, whatever you did or didn't do to the least of these, you didn't do to me.
Yeah.
So if we don't respond to our brothers and our sisters and to the woundings, we're not responding to Jesus. That's what he's saying. But this is the way it's so covert in a way sometimes you don't even realize you're just being nice to folks and you're loving on them and they matter to you. And, you know, you say, okay, you're wounded. And so let's pray about this. And then God begins to lead with wisdom how to get healed, and they get healed. And same thing with provision with, you know, clothes and water or whatever. But even these folks will show up in heaven and he'll say, you know, when I was wounded, you came to me and you healed me. I was sick in bed. You came and visited. And they're even going to say, when did we do this? That's how easy it is. That's how easy it is to miss this.
Yeah.
Because Jesus had to explain to everybody, I was everywhere. And some of you missed me. And you actually ministered to me, but you didn't even know you were ministering to me.
Mm-hmm.
Which to me says, honor everybody. Do everything you can for everybody you can during the time, because we're all going to appear before the judgment seat like that, and he's going to tell us, how do we do? And the truth, as he's saying, you know, the ones who did not recognize him, the ones who refused to do good towards mankind, the horizontal relationships, their vertical relationship was not, it didn't end well.
Mm-mm.
He said, away from me, you wicked.
Yeah.
Yeah, wicked person. I never knew you.
Yeah.
And it's like, so we can determine where we are in God based in the vertical, based on how we treat people in the horizontal, not how religious we are. Do we love folks? Do we think well of them? Do we honor them? And you could go, you could be shot right now. Oh my goodness, I've been so mean to everybody. But you know, you can repent. You can make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life if you haven't yet. Go to meetmyfather.org. We can tell you some of our stories. But know that it matters in the internal and your eternal life how you treat folks. And it's not like you don't earn salvation. But the very fact that you are saved, guess what? You actually have fruit in your life and how you treat people.
Yeah. We'll say maturity in God is not how much we know, but how much we obey of what we know. How much is it actually in our lives? And so if what's in our lives is not matching what we know, we need to start focusing more on the fruit manifesting in our life. And what greater fruit than to have the fruit of love?
And we're going to be talking about in today's program, and we have a segment from, Benjamin Watson with the New Orleans Saints.
From
brother
where?
In the Lord.
New Orleans Saints?
Yeah, Saints, the football team.
Wow.
A good one.
Something good coming out
I have
of the
you
Saints?
Know, I slept in a jersey last night.
Jersey. Wow.
I would like to sleep in a couple more, but so if you want to send me some Saints jerseys, I'm all for, not the jersey. No, not the jersey, but just whatever it is. I don't know, whatever it is.
The shirt.
But, small. Sure. Well, we'll talk.
Yeah.
Let's just communicate offline about
just
that.
Check the torch.
But he just obviously abides with God, and he was just sincere, and he is, strong, so he can defend himself.
Yeah.
But he just kind of shared his heart about, the results with Ferguson and what's happening throughout America with all the different instances that are going on right here. And the way he responded, because we're having this conversation, race in the church, in Revelation chapter 7, just so you know this, when we are before the throne of God, those that are going to be with God forever, is from every tribe, tongue, and nations, from every race. All of us are coming together. We're all going to be eating together banquet.
Marriage.
Yeah, exactly. And so if you don't like sitting with me now, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's not going to work out well. I mean, we got to love each other.
Yeah. You may have special seating somewhere else.
Yeah, right. Can you put the non-air conditioned area on the other side of the abyss? And so you're looking for sanity, right? I mean, you look for sanity from, Washington, D.C., and you're like, are you stoking the flames and creating division or what? I mean, help us out. And Chuck Pierce prophetically made this statement. We've talked about it. You can go back and listen to all the prophecies we have available for you on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com to be able to do that. But he says that the world's leadership is going to be stuck until the church leadership breaks loose and moves into the where God wants it to go. And what we're doing is we're holding on to old mindsets. And I love what, Pastor Joshua
Bonhoeffer
from Klondike Baptist Church in the Gulf Coast, that he loves God, loves others, loves people, and loves his city.
Yeah.
Love that. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
That was so cool. And that's our, love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. But he made this statement. You can see it in the earlier program. New laws will not change old hearts, but the gospel will. It'll change nations.
Mm.
And Pastor Lynn Ballinger with Jubilee Church, talks about, that the gospel works in everywhere we are in every nation. It's time for us again to return back to the gospel in America, because it'll change hearts. It just does. I remember this. I wish I had this with me. Maybe we'll have it here on this program before the break is out. But I was speaking on this years ago, and just the gospel and the truth of what God says, that Jesus is walking along with his very own disciples on the Emmaus Road. He's already risen from the dead. And they didn't recognize Jesus because he came to them in a different form. And earlier we just found out a lot of people don't recognize Jesus when it is Jesus, the body of Christ. And so they didn't even recognize him. And so often You know, Jesus is going to show up in a form that you're not familiar with, especially probably the area of if you have any sin in your heart, any division, any pride in your heart. That's how he's going to show up in that way, and he's going to deal with that area of your life. And if you don't think that you think your race is the only race, you know, that can be saved or whatever, I don't know what that stuff comes from. But guess, you know, Jesus is going to show up in a different race, and you're going to miss it. And I was talking about that. And so when I'm preaching about, they're just talking. We had about a couple hundred men there. I think it was all men. Power of God was just present. It was a lot to that. But all of a sudden, one of the men comes out of the audience. He comes out of the audience, and he walks up to me at a moment of prayer, and he hands me this. He says, "Listen, the Lord told me to give this to you." And you don't know what it was? It was a rebel flag belt buckle. And he said, "The Lord told me that this is wrong and I shouldn't have this." Did I say anything about that? No, I just preached the gospel. I just preached the good news, the love of God, the authentic word of God. And the Spirit of God came to him and said, "Get that off of you. That's not good." And I have that actually on, well, hopefully before this program's out, we'll be able to have that. But it's like, that's how it works. It's not us creating some law to change some heart. It's us preaching the gospel, and the Spirit of God will deal with us in 10,000 different ways.
That's right.
And then all of us will move forward dealing with our own personal sin.
Mm-hmm.
But if we just focus on the one particular sin, it's like, you know, it's like distraction for others. They're like, "Yeah, let's focus on it." Instead of saying, you know what? Just preach the gospel. There's power in the blood. There's power in the cross. And we get back, though, this is exactly what Benjamin Watson is talking about. But first you're going to see where he starts bringing this answer up, and guess what happens to his interview at CNN? They cut him off.
Wow.
But we have another interview. They didn't cut him off on a whole different network. You got to see it. Benjamin Watson from the New Orleans Saints in a moment.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Everyone needs a laugh, and we've got one for you from Dennis Swanberg on today's Focus on the Family Minute.
How many of y'all have a George Foreman grill? Raise your hand, anybody. Is that awesome? A George Foreman grill. I mean, you put your hamburger patties in there, and then all the grease goes down into a tray. Every bit of that grease goes down into a tray, catches every drop of grease. Then you take your bread and daub it in there. I love it. I love it. You don't lose one drop of it. Not one drop. For some of you wealthy people that go to a country club, you're wondering what I'm talking about. I'll tell you, you know what that is in the tray? Au jus. That's the stuff that George Foreman saves for you.
Laughter is good for the soul, and you'll find more audio presentations from Dennis Swanberg and lots of laughs at FocusOnTheFamily.com.
Which, by the way, if you haven't gone to the VFN Torch lead, you need to go to VFNTV.com. And in the menu, it says VFN Torch. There's all types of aspects to be able to just quick information at a moment's notice. Any topic that you can imagine probably is in there. And a biblical perspective, you know, what's actually happening. But what does the Word of God say about this? Including prophetic words of knowledge and wisdom that has been shared. So if you get a chance, go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch in the menu there.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Merry, Merry Christmas out there to all of our VFN TV and radio audience out there. We are so excited about celebrating Christmas. As a matter of fact, we had a gathering a little bit earlier and just had a wonderful time.
Awesome
a tree
time.
Of gratitude.
Yes.
Yeah. Is that not cool?
That's very
cool.
Good.
We all took ornaments, paper ornaments that people worked so hard to be able to cut out and stuff. And we just took several of them, three of them, I guess, and wrote down what we were grateful for. And then we just took our time walking up to this tree and just hanging on the tree. Mm-hmm. And it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody, all ages. We had different languages. You know, yeah. You didn't translate everything, I don't think, because she was talking good about you, and you wouldn't say everything.
Not important.
Yeah, it was important. We got it on tape. We'll go back and listen to it. But just think about being grateful, just so grateful this Christmas season. So, like I was saying before the break, that so here I am. I'm just, you know, at that time, pretty much, I was probably naive quite a bit. I'm always shocked. I'm like, no, people don't like people. You know, I'm always like, oh my goodness, I thought they were in the ministry. Anyway, so I thought they were Christians. My first entrustment of ministry was to married couples, young married couples. And I was in ministry at that time with Pastor John Kilpatrick, which is a spiritual father to me. And he trusted me with this ministry. And I'll never forget, I went out there and did a sport with the married folks. Mm. And they're playing volleyball. You know, and it just... I mean, it was vicious. It was vicious. I could not believe that Pat. No, the no. Seriously, he was not. They were not. No, they. That was BC. BC. And so, but you know, husbands were spiking the volleyball down in his wife's face on the other side and going, "Yes," you know. It's so funny, you know. So I have the video, but we have the big VHS things and stuff, you know. We're shooting some video of that. And I came back and I'd say, I don't think some of them were saved. Right? Do you want to see it? I said, do you want to see it? He's like, no, I don't want to see it.
Did you burn it?
No. I don't know. I have no idea what happened to it, actually.
Interesting.
But I obviously, you know, it's just naive. The thing is that we have issues and we have to work through things, and sure. Pat's just real competitive.
Absolutely. And, right? Pray for him. Add him to your prayer list. Yeah,
right. But, you know, so here I am. I'm preaching. I mean, the powerful move of God, revival's taking place. The nations are coming. I'm speaking, I guess, to about 200 men, maybe 200 or 300 mm-hmm. men packed in there.
Packed.
And God's moving powerfully. The presence of God, you're talking about the glory of God will unify us, right? And we're fixing to get to Benjamin Watson, but understand this is what he's talking about Jesus Christ is the answer. And that literally like smoke appeared over the, it was like maybe 25-foot ceilings or something. And the whole top of this meeting here, I thought there was a fire, but it was just the glory of God appeared over these men. But yet it didn't, the men were raising their hands, praising God, but it didn't. I was wondering, asked the question, Lord, why wouldn't this glory be on the men? And he said, because they have unclean hands. Mm-hmm. And he says in Malachi, he says, you know, wash me with laundry detergents, basically. Mm-hmm. And then God began to show me that we've got to, you know, go through this journey of dealing with sin in our lives and all that type of thing. But as I was preaching the gospel, and I'm not talking about anything other than, you know, you didn't recognize Jesus. He's coming to you in a different form, that, you know, we're all different races and all this. This guy walks up with a pair of boots on and jeans on and just rugged looking dude. And he says, listen, he said, the Lord told me that I'm supposed to give this to you. This is my belt buckle. And look what he gave me. This is what this man gave. I don't know if you could see that, if you could see it in the light. Can you see that? Mm-hmm. It's a belt buckle that he gave me. And it's a belt buckle of a rebel flag. And you know what the Lord said to him? I didn't say it. And this is the key to it. You can't, this is what Pastor Joshua
Walnoffer
said. It's so important. New laws will not change old hearts, but the gospel will do that. You know, what caused him to want to give up this belt buckle? It wasn't anything I said about a belt buckle or a flag or anything. It was when the presence of God showed up and the glory of God showed up and the Holy Spirit dealt with him individually. And on his own, he came up and he gave this thing to me. And that's before I even really knew what was happening. Yeah. And so if we want to see hearts change, we want people to see people. He knew he loved God, so he wanted to do whatever God wanted. Mm-hmm. And when we love God, he can bring us through these things. But if we start focusing on a sin or focusing on an issue, then all of a sudden, it's amazing how that works. You have people protesting back and forth. The answer is the gospel. And that's what Benjamin Watson is telling us after he talked and shared his feelings. I mean, I first want to do this. He went to go on CNN, and the second, here he is doing an interview, and the second he told the CNN audience what the answer was, isn't it amazing? all of a sudden he gets cut in 15 seconds. They cut him off the air when he says it. But guess what? We're fixing to have an interview. I want you to see this first. You got to see the CNN interview. And this is the answer for all of us. The answer is Jesus Christ. Benjamin Watson, New Orleans Saints on CNN.
Salvation for this sin is the gospel. The only way to really cure that what's on the inside is understanding that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And so to me, on a micro level, it's understanding.
Oh, and just like that, we lost him.
Wow. Wow.
What are you scared of? Think about it. It's like, come on. I mean, the reason why he knew what he was saying is because he has a relationship with this Jesus. Mm-hmm. You want the goodness of God, but you don't want God. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's telling us, it's Jesus. It is Jesus. And as soon as he gave credit to Jesus, his Lord and Savior, and he talks about all the different sin issues that she didn't get a chance to be able to cover on that, they cut him off.
Wow.
And she just goes like, oh, wow. And I really believe, too, by the way, that you know most newscasts like that,
journalists,
but the ones that are you see on they're reading prompters that were approved by corporate boards that news was ingested into, quote, the beast, they called it, and came back out, and they're determining what happened. So somebody else probably pulled that switch. Obviously, she's just going with the flow of whatever happened right there. But it just so happens, though, we have a great interview, because think about this. He shares his feelings, and we'll talk more about it after you hear his interview. But you got to see this. We're going to make this available to you on the VFN Torch, his entire post that he wrote out. It just brings multidimensional wisdom to this whole reality. And it's just amazing. So we're going to make the whole thing available to you on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. But listen to his interview with Fox News, and they didn't cut him off. You are about to watch Benjamin Watson with the New Orleans Saints, a brother in the Lord, giving wisdom.
And now a professional football player takes to Facebook to express his wide range of emotions in the aftermath of the Ferguson grand jury decision. New Orleans Saints NFL player Benjamin Watson writes, "I'm embarrassed because the looting, violent protests, and lawbreaking only confirm and in the minds of many validate the stereotypes and thus the inferior treatment. I'm offended because of the insulting comments I've seen that are not only insensitive but dismissive to the painful experiences of others. I'm hopeful because I know that while we still have race issues in America, we enjoy a much different normal than those of our parents and grandparents. I see it in my personal relationships with teammates, friends, and mentors. And it's a beautiful thing, that Facebook post going viral." And now Benjamin Watson joins us in an on-the-record exclusive. Benjamin, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So I was reading some of the reports. You said that you were surprised by the reaction of this Facebook post, and I have to say, Benjamin, it's a beautiful post. And I think when someone like you comes out and really is able to put themselves in the shoes of both sides on this, and all we've seen is literally black and white, two very differing positions, you've seemingly put yourself in the middle and said, you know what, I can understand both. And people are really responding to it.
I'm totally surprised by the response, honestly. They're just my thoughts. And when something like this happens, it's so hard to put your thoughts into words. And that's simply what I tried to do. You know, I do some writing from time to time. And whenever there's something that is bothering me or something that I can't quite put my emotions into check, I write it down. And it's amazing when you write things down, how you get to the different layers of your emotion and you kind of figure out how you truly feel.
I was particularly taken with this one paragraph where you say that you're frustrated because pop culture, the movies, the music, glorifies these type of politician-citizen altercations and promotes this invincible attitude that continues to get young men killed in real life. Who would you point to in the culture that's responsible for that? And a lot of people say, where's the leadership to start to bring us out and move us forward and put us on a path to healing?
Well, first of all, the leadership comes from the household. It comes from the family. And, you know, as a parent of four kids, my kids need to look to me for that leadership. And it's my job as a parent to tell them what's real and what's not real and to grow them up, to be respectful, to do things the right way so that we can avoid some of these things that happen. And I wouldn't point my finger to any one individual, but as a culture in general, we do glorify violence, whether you're looking at Hollywood, whether you're looking at music, whether you're looking at pop culture. Like I said, we as a culture glorify violence. And sometimes, you know, that violence happens in real life. And guess what? There's no repeat. when that happens in real life, there's no repeat. And so I think it's incumbent upon parents, families, to teach children the difference between, and to teach children that, you know, while this may be cool on TV, it's not cool in real life.
You know, Benjamin, you make such a great point, because I think the family structure in general among whites, blacks, Hispanics is really in crisis in this country. And I think people are really encouraged to see someone like you in the public eye coming forward, offering such inspiring words. Going forward, how do you think that we start to begin to heal from Ferguson?
Well, I think the number one thing is just to acknowledge your feelings. You know, initially I was angry as a black man, knowing the history of this country, knowing the things that we've gone through. I was angry, and I think that is that's a correct response. Past that, you understand that, hey, I don't know everything that happened. I wasn't there. There may be things that I don't know. Mm-hmm. Past that, I'm embarrassed at certain things about how some people reacted to the decision not to prosecute. I mean, there's so many different layers, but ultimately, I said in the end of my post, I said that I really believe that this is a sin problem, that we all have the propensity to be prideful. We have the propensity to be racist. We all have the propensity to point fingers at people, to lie, to cheat, to do all those things. And so until we are able to deal with that sin through the blood of Christ, I don't think there's any moving forward, because education isn't always the answer.
Mm-hmm. Benjamin, what about the controversial figures that seem to inject themselves in these issues, the Al Sharptons, the Jesse Jacksons? Do you think that they hurt, or do you think that they help?
You know, that's a great question, and I can't say whether they help or hurt. I do know that those men have done tremendous things for the black community, and I do know that at the same time, how things are portrayed on television, how things are portrayed on radio, they incite people. And so those individuals, I know they mean well. I don't know them personally, so I can't say if they help or hurt, but I do trust that they have everyone's best interest at heart, not just white, but black also, and race relations in general, I think, are better. You know, like I said in my post, we are in a better spot, I believe, than where we were 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 50 years ago. There's a long way to go, but my true belief is that education, exposure is not the real answer. The real answer is dealing with the heart problem, and the heart problem of man is our sinful nature.
Mm-hmm. You know, you have, I'm sure, gotten mixed reviews, overwhelmingly encouraging, though. I was reading some of the comments on your post. Hip-hop artist Pharrell came out. He also took a pretty moderated view on this, and he said, we need to have a discussion. He also expressed anger in the original decision. But he also said, why are people like Michael Brown acting like a bully? Let's have that conversation. Why is he behaving in this way? And I think both of you are sparking a debate which we need to have. Have you gotten some flack for your Facebook post?
You know, of course. And it's great to have flack, honestly, because people are expressing their feelings. Whether they agree with me or not, I think it's important to have the conversation, like Pharrell said. And if a guy is being a bully when he's trying when a cop is simply telling him to do something, or if a cop comes and the cop is being the bully, mm-hmm. as we know, people don't react well when they are tried in that way. And so the conversation is the start. You know, we can sit down and be honest and say, you know, as a black man, I feel this. As a white American, I feel this. I mm-hmm. think that that's a great place to start. And that's when we can really have true change, when we're able to sit down and not be offended by one another, but simply say, you know what, because of my life experiences, because of what's been told to me, because of what's happened to me, I feel this way. I understand that you feel differently, and I'm not going to condemn you for how you feel. Let's talk about it, and let's try to move forward.
That's right. I think everyone's feelings are validated, and it's important to listen to everybody. And you know what, Benjamin? I think you could be one of those leaders. I think you are. When I asked who are the leaders to heal us, I think you're doing just that. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That is so wise. I truly believe it, too. I mean, yeah. It's just that words that came. There's something about when you spend time with God, when you talk, there's going to be healing in those words. Over 860,000 likes so far on this post. Over 473,000 shares. More when we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
This is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Light meaning the light of the world. Not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light. Mm-hmm. It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast,
every conversation is just dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's doubtful. It's this Hitler-like type conversations or mm-hmm. Aryan type conversations or Iranian or Muslim type conversations or political, which is type conversations. Or you could listen to VFN radio and you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's word says about it and you can get a perspective and you go, hey, I can know things without being terrified. I can. Mm-hmm. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church, and they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties, and they like the whole scheme of the thing. And then they're coming into the churches and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand. And as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians. Mm-hmm. And the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light. John, do you know the VFN TV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And yes, everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24/7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, any prophetic words that are coming out, you know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news, you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFN TV. It'll pop up. Download it for free or go to VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back to VFN TV. Merry Christmas to all of our viewers and our listeners out there. I just want to encourage you, too, that the week of this conversation that began in America, when the church has begun to have this conversation that we're talking about, race mm-hmm. in the church and how to respond, and of all the things to be said, and the timing is, it's the same week that I believe down in the Gulf Coast in Pensacola, Escambia County, where the government is having to decide whether they're going to, the same Holy Spirit that spoke to that man about, hey, you got to get rid of this belt buckle because you know, mm-hmm. that's not something that pleases me because it had that flag on there. Mm-hmm. There, as this is happening, that decision is being brought before the people of that county on the Gulf Coast. And I want to encourage you, you know, be a part of following this guy's lead and say, God, whatever you want to do.
That's right.
My loyalty mm-hmm. is to Jesus Christ and the cross. It's not to any mm-hmm. thing or stuff, you know, whatever. And this young man who heard from God, walked up with his cowboy boots, jeans on, straight out of Longhorn, Texas, you know what I'm saying? and he was in the Gulf Coast, but he turned that thing over and said, you know, God told me that I'm supposed to get rid of this. And that's how things will leave our communities, not because you make a law, but because you preach the gospel and change your heart.
Mm.
And that's what Benjamin was just talking about, Benjamin Watson, with the New Orleans Saints. He was saying, you know, even though all my feelings, it all boils down to, it's not about teaching more classes or, you know, having more sensitivity right. moments. It's about truth. It's about preaching the love of God. And so we all have a sin nature. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, you're probably looking, it's Facebook. I want you to go to the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com, and you'll see
his Facebook, and on his Facebook, he posted on his Facebook, he posted some his thoughts and his feelings as he was talking about, and I thought was pretty interesting. And by the way, over 860,000 likes at this point, and it's just amazing what it is. But he, if you could keep that his Facebook header up so they can see that, because I want you to go to there and just give him a shout out, and thank him for standing up. But he talks about his feelings, and I love this because it's kind of lines up with how I feel quite sometimes. I feel all these different emotions, but he's in touch with his emotions really well. But you know, he sees what's going on with Ferguson and other areas, and he goes, you know, well, I'm angry, you know, because of injustice and things that have been passed down through generations. And I'm paraphrasing. You see the whole thing on the VFN Torch. Then he's like, I'm frustrated too, because we're perpetuating an idea that produces this type of thing that keeps this thing that I'm angry about happening. And so he's talking about, you know, we're kind of like fueling our own issues right here. And then he talks about, you know, I'm fearful. And this is so important to understand this. You know, if you have not yet experienced racism, you haven't experienced, you know, somebody judging you just because you exist. I mean, look at Israel and the racism towards Israel. I mean, the president of Turkey got in office based on a racist spirit. I hate Jews. Let me be president of Turkey.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how he got in office, anti-Semitism. And that means they don't like Jews because they're Jews. That's what that means. And that's being racist, and that is not of God. And, but I'm fearful. Well, the Jews would go, I'm fearful, because these guys are wanting to harm us. They have missiles shooting into our... Well, if you are a person of color in America and there's a spirit of racism, then your children... And he's talking about, I'm fearful because I don't know what might happen to my children. And that's such a legitimate... Mm-hmm. Legitimate. You can't just brush that off.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget, there was a case on the Gulf Coast, and I just knew that there was going to be justice with this case. And the reason why we cry for justice, this is what God's word says. He said, no one cries for justice. And that's available, I think, to all of our partners out there. It's we have that available to you. No one cries for justice. You got to listen to this. Because the reason why, first of all, we don't cry for justice is because we think, man, if I start shouting out justice, I've sinned. I've made mistakes. You know, I've been wrong. And then the hammer of God's going to come down on me and destroy me. You're right, unless you go to Jesus, you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you go to the cross and you repent for your sins, and then the hammer of God came down on Jesus, so it doesn't have to come down on you. And then when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, with great empathy and love and concern, you start crying out for justice, which means putting things back in their right order again, God's order for mankind, not punishment, but just right order. And if we don't cry for justice, or if we wait too late, in Isaiah he says we're bait, basically. If you wait too late, it doesn't matter what you say. And a lot of people are those people that are convinced that, you know, that stupid thing about elevators, you know, if the elevator starts to fall, I'll wait till I get to the last moment and then I'll just jump up or step off. And it's like once that thing's going to the you're moving at the same speed. And if you are in a nation and in a community that's moving at the same speed, and you're saying nothing, but you're thinking at any moment you're going to jump and go, ah, that's not me. I'm not like that. It doesn't matter. It's too late. We should have cried for justice at that point. And so this whole situation happened where, you know, somebody was shot, offloaded two guns on a particular African-American citizen who was in his own driveway, you know, the Roy Middleton situation. And we had no choice but to say, this is unjust before God, because we have a fear of God, not a fear of man. We had to say something, but there was a deathly silence everywhere. It was a deathly
vacuum.
And so I call a friend of mine who is now the assistant chief of police of the city, Pensacola, Florida, David Alexander, assistant chief of police, David Alexander, and I were talking. And all I could think about at this moment, because the very moment was, you know, I'm sorry. you know, I'm sorry. And he goes, yeah, my girl just called me. She just, he's African-American. My girl just saw it on the news and she just called me and she's going, Dad, did you see this? And he kind of diverted her attention. Mm-hmm. You know, let's just focus on the Lord through this. But this is the statement you have to understand. All you have to do is be scared of me to be justified in killing me. Mm. Understand that. Mm. That's a narrative we have to do away with.
No doubt.
That everybody is equal under the law. Everybody's rights come from God. That's the Constitution, but the church-wise, you know, we don't ever, should never mm-hmm. build, you know, and the thing is, like, if that's how someone's feeling, imagine how people feel at night not knowing. It's not like, hey, you know, I don't want Bobby to stay out late tonight. It's like, what might happen to him in this environment that if we don't deal with that spirit, that as we talked about in racial profiling mm-hmm. that we had in an earlier program, you got to go see all this whole conversation, because that was the pain of the Gulf Coast region. Was as soon as I said whatever God wanted to say about racial profiling and repentance, the spirit of the whole region began to wail, didn't it?
Oh yeah, mm-hmm.
You can see this, and it's like we gotta deal with that, and nobody should be fearful at night just because they exist. Just because they exist. And so he talks about in his posts, you know, he says that, you know, I'm fearful. And if you have kids and, you know, that's the mindset out there, you're going to be fearful too. What's going to happen to them if this is not dealt with? I mean, he sees positive change and all that, but still, you know, I had a friend of mine that his mother, well, I'll tell you what, we're going to talk more about this after the break. I just want to be able to focus at this moment in Christmas. You know, this is a wonderful, we have 12 days of Christmas, and we're going to continue this conversation of Benjamin Watson and some experiences that I'm aware of to see. Dear God, help us get through this and bring healing so you can pour out your glory.
And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. This season, we celebrate because many years ago, the King of all creation was born into the world. But over time, the focus of our celebration has shifted. As much as we want this season to be about things like gifts and shopping and Santa and elves, it's not really about that stuff at all. And even though we want this season to be about really wonderful things like family and community and giving to others, this season is not about that stuff either. Christmas is about Jesus. So, as you wait in long lines at the mall and listen to holiday music, as you gather with friends and family and exchange gifts with one another, and as you serve others around and help those in need, remember that although those things are really good, Christmas is more. Christmas is Jesus. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
They had a representative from the District of Columbia. They all went to Israel for solidarity.
A lot of people might not know where the District of Columbia is.
Well, educate us, because it's near Washington, D.C. somewhere.
It is Washington, D.C.
There it is. Okay.
I assumed you knew, John.
Right. You assumed wrong.
This is a man with all these degrees. And last I heard,
I
walking on
class.
Water.
I missed that class.
This is our education system. We need help.
I want my money back. No.
Yes. That's why they call it Columbia University.
There we go.
Right. Okay.
Back to the night with Israel.
Oh, how are you doing?
I'm doing
¿Cómo
excellent.
Está?
Estoy bien, ¿y tú?
Muy bien.
Muy bien.
Yeah. ¿Cómo está, El Pato?
Come on. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so getting back to Washington, D.C., District of Columbia.
He got one joke.
That's good.
6 years of college.
Hey, we're
going to
use that humor. I just want you to know.
That's good.
We're going to use
good.
That humor
good.
For the next
Can y'all make sure
weeks?
We got. Okay, they got that. Right
okay,
there.
You got it?
Welcome to VFN TV Daily Radio Program.
Listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Merry Christmas. Merry, Merry Christmas to all of our viewers and listeners out there for VFN TV. Don't forget, available for you right now for signing up for The Torch is a gift from us to you. Several of them. One of them is Christmas, restoring the purity and giving. I'm telling you, it will really bless you. Just sign up for the newsletter to be able to stay in touch with what's going on. And it is your gift for you. Go to BFNTV.com and you see The Torch. Sign up at the upper right-hand corner. Well, you know, Benjamin Watson is talking about in his post, and we're going to make this whole post available to you. We need to listen to this man. I mean, he has a platform. And we need tickets. We need season tickets for the Saints.
Yeah.
You got to quit playing on Sunday. Anyway, so
let's not get too excited. Let's take the message in context of what Benjamin said.
Yeah, Benjamin. I wouldn't mind season tickets. Anyway,
I wouldn't mind seeing Benjamin speak somewhere. But
right. Anyway, so he said it. Anyway, so he writes in there. One thing he says, "I'm fearful," and you know, how could the strong man, you know, football, NFL football player, and it's like he's talking about his children. If we gotta become so concerned about this next generation, you know, what's gonna happen to this next generation? And you know, coming from law enforcement experience, coming from the journey God's taken me on, and looking, I get a phone call from an African American mother that says, you know, my son just got pulled over in Tennessee, and he's sitting inside the back of a police cruiser. Immediately, I'm like, oh my goodness, what happened? And see, racism is about they don't see anything. They didn't realize that this person is a vice president of a large corporation that highly intelligent, walking wisdom, kind. They don't see any of that.
Yeah.
And I was talking to his mom. I'm like, oh my, let's pray. Let's pray right now, because you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I'm not saying that particular officer was bad or good. I'm just saying, like, a lot of things have happened. We've talked about, you know, got to go back and listen to some of the segments at our history. And it's just like this good man is encountering, is it good or bad? And so you're just like, oh my goodness, you know. And of course, he made it through that, and nothing bad happened. But then I get another phone call, and at this particular point, this is a Hispanic man in Texas that he's going to help his mother-in-law change a tire or fix something on her car. You're just like, okay, you get a phone call, you know, your mother, she's broke down. I need to go help her out. So it's just a typical thing. I'm going to go help her out. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, he ends up having the police called on him. He ends up getting arrested, and crazy things go on. I mean, it matters. Church, it's the church that has this conversation. Mm-hmm. We can't just sit by with these injustices that go on. You think about, you know, Bill Cosby, the actor. His son reportedly was just changing a tire on the side of the road while he was in college. We don't know if it was racially motivated, but it was definitely motivated by the devil. He's changing his tire reportedly, and somebody just comes by and murders him on the side of the road. You think about the basketball Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, his dad's coming back home, and he stops at a rest stop, and he gets murdered. I mean, I don't know the ramification, how that happened or nothing, but it matters. It matters. It matters when we see, as the church, when we see, especially in America, because it's a government by the people and for the people, which means you can't blame anybody. You have to actually, we're all responsible for the direction of our nation because we voted for it. But when we see in the city of New York or Long Island or Staten Island.
Staten Island. Yeah.
You know, when we see, you know, five, six officers surrounding this man who's selling cigarettes illegally, which is based on a tax issue because the cigarettes were paid for. The cigarette company got the money for the cigarettes, but obviously the taxes weren't going to get paid. Mm-hmm. I mean, there comes like a check and balance. It's like, okay, this is not some serious crime where you kill somebody or use major force on them, but they just were videoed where this man's going, I can't breathe. And there was enough officers there to kind of change that. And then you see, you know, grand juries come back. I mean, as the church, we got to say, dear God, help us. What have we not done? But then you go, that's happening in the world. Then we come back in the church and go, you know what? We haven't dealt with this in the church.
Hmm.
We haven't. That's the thing is that when God's people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their racism, their feeling superior to other people, our sin, our evilness, then he will heal from heaven. And guess what? He will heal America. He will heal this land. So it begins at the house. Judgment begins at the house of God. Why are we saying all this? Because it's just like Benjamin Watson says, it's Jesus Christ. And we understand this, the glory of God. You got to hear Dutch Sheets. I mean, this is what God is about to do, something so awesome. But the prerequisite is we have to hear from God. We have to see our sin. We have to say, God, forgive us for our sin and mean it and begin to walk out a repented life like, you know what? We can do this thing. Listen to Dutch Sheets.
There is a level of grace about to be poured out that is striking. It's awesome. It's going to come to sinners and awaken them when they're not looking. Are you hearing me? They're not going to be looking. It's going to get prodigals when the prodigals don't even know they want to go home. They're going to wake up one day and decide, I'm ready to go home. Sinners who don't believe are going to wake up and say, I believe. Atheists are going to have some light turned on inside of them. God is about to give us mega grace, and the mega grace will produce mega power and mega conversions and mega outpourings and mega breakthroughs and mega gifts of the Spirit. And I don't know how to measure that. I just know God says it's coming.
This is why we're having the conversation, because God is about to do something awesome. And this is what Jesus said. He said, go to where I'm about to go and prepare the way. Mm. Preach the gospel. Tell them the kingdom of God is near. And I'm telling you right now, those in our audience, those on the Gulf Coast, those in the Glory Zone, the kingdom of God is near. The Lord has sent us ahead to prepare the way, because the Lord is about to pour out his glory. How do you prepare yourself? You know, cry out and call out to God and say, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. And understand there's so many workers that you just sat back. It's time to get into the harvest field, to get discipled and get ready, because the biggest harvest the world has ever seen is about to take place. People from all these different ethnos, nations are going to come into the region, and they're going to say, disciple me, tell me about this Jesus, and experience and then go back into their nations, into their cities and their communities and their families, and transform everything. A grace is coming. I'm saying, prepare the way of the Lord, Gulf Coast. Prepare the way of the Lord, audience across the nation, because our Lord, strong and mighty, mighty in battle, is coming to America, and he's going to do a great and mighty thing. Prepare yourself.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.